tonight on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. We have our good friend Megan Conley joining the show with Dan Z and a new WGN radio podcast from Eric Runge. But now, the favorite show of listeners from Oswego, Illinois. Buckle on up, because it's time for Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us Pretty Late, and I want to send an especially big thank you to our friends who showed up at the Child Serve fundraiser and Stand Up for Kids at Sage 773 tonight. Congratulations to Child Serve and, of course, Senator Dan Katowski for such a successful evening. And, you know, we talked a little bit during the show about the time I've spent in Springfield. You know, I haven't had the opportunity to go down to Springfield this year because of our move, and we're also trying to figure out what the, you know, what the stories are to tell. And I'm lucky enough to have people that work in Springfield that are really trying to make sure that the men and women of Illinois have access to their legislators, have the ability to have their voices heard. And we heard from an individual who said, hey, you've really got to talk to Megan Conley. She's got an amazing story. She's a young woman who was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma when she was 19 years old, and it relapsed. And there was when you're a young person and you're thinking about the rest of your life, there are things that probably come into focus. And we want to talk to Megan right now. Megan, how are you doing tonight?
Wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Is it kind of weird to like, okay, I got really sick and now I want to fight for people, and now late night radio, I've got to sit here and tell my story all over again to people. Does it get to be a little bit old at all?
Never. The more word I can spread, and you know, the more people that we reach is wonderful in my eyes.
Well, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Rolling Meadows.
In Rolling Meadows? And for most of your childhood, not a kid. Were you ever sick? I mean, more than a broken
and
bone
hated
or anything?
The doctor. Uh-huh. I remember my mom actually bought me a book when I was like 7. I'd rather get a spanking than go to the doctor. So I was I'd rather do many things than go to the doctor. And lo and behold, many years later, I would be there quite frequently.
How was the Hodgkin's lymphoma discovered?
I had a very small lump on the side of my neck, and I actually first went to the doctor and they said, oh, it's nothing. It's a swollen lymph node. A couple weeks later, another one popped up on the other side. So that's when we had to return to the doctor, and, you know, he was starting to get concerned and brought up the possibility of cancer, which was a complete shocker because 3 weeks prior I was told I had a virus of some sort, that it was just a swollen lymph node.
Oh, how terrifying.
Yeah.
And were you still on your parents' insurance when you were 19?
I was, yes. So I was in college, actually. I was away at Eastern Illinois. So I was still under my parents' insurance.
And that's the weirdest thing, is that we have to ask, right? Is it like, were you insured at the time? Because
exactly.
here's what can be a catastrophic diagnosis. What was the prognosis at the time? What did they tell you to expect?
My prognosis was very good. Highly curable, around 85 to 90%. Mm-hmm.
But what was the what was the round of treatment for you at that age at 19?
It was 6 months of chemotherapy.
Wow. And did they go through like how that could affect your body, what that meant for you for the long haul?
Yeah, I mean, they went through just what to expect and possible side effects, but you know, nothing's guaranteed, and that was quite frankly the most frightening thing.
Right.
You're given a prognosis, but you're not guaranteed.
Right. Prognosis is basically the stats that they have, their experience. You know, they kind of put the numbers into a computer and they say, well, this is what tends to happen with someone your age and the stage at which they diagnose it.
Exactly.
So after you'd gone through the 6 rounds of treatment, this was the 6 months of treatment. So you're 19. And then what happens when you're 20?
8 months after I was in remission, I had a relapse. So I was part of that less than 15% of Hodgkin's lymphoma patients who actually have a relapse.
This had to be, and obviously it's terrifying for you. Did your parents, I mean, do you get the feeling that they just felt so helpless? Here's their little girl.
Oh, completely. Yeah. It was, if you could have been in my kitchen the day we got that second phone call, it was not pleasant to say the least.
And one of the reasons that we are talking to you is that something came up then that you hadn't thought about preserving your ability to have kids
later in life, because when you find out you have chemo the first time, you're 19, you're young, you're like, okay, I want to get through this, I want to survive.
Exactly.
But now they tell you again, what how did the fertility preservation come up?
Being that I had relapsed, due to the highly toxic treatment I was about to have, chemotherapy, radiation, and a stem cell transplant, they told me that there was a significantly high chance that I could become infertile. And like you said, you know, survival was all that was on my mind at that point. How could I possibly think about my future and having kids when I just want to live? But unfortunately, that was the cards that I was dealt, and I come from a family of 6 kids. I want nothing more to have a biological family of my own one day. I know survival is number one, but once you become a survivor, just to know that you have an opportunity to still have children is something that, you know, is priceless.
Do you feel the urge to be able to make plans?
Absolutely.
And when they talked to you about the possibility of being infertile, what did they tell you your options were at that point?
So my options were either to harvest my eggs or basically do nothing. And with that, if I did choose to harvest my eggs, it would be about $10,000, which would not be covered by insurance. So on top of making this decision, you're also faced with the economic factor and burden of, do we have the means? Do we? And by we, I mean my parents, because I was 20 years old. I didn't have a penny to my name at that time. I was a college student. So,
I'm trying to imagine what the process would be, because they have to go in and extract the eggs. They have to sort of get you to the point where the eggs are extractable, right?
Exactly.
They have to use hormones in order to sort of stimulate that.
Right.
And then extract them. And so that's part of, I imagine what the price is involved. What did they say, you know, when they said it wasn't covered, they said that's just sort of cosmetic to preserve your fertility? What's the reasoning behind not being able to have that covered by insurance?
It just wasn't it's not under any policies. It's, a lot of insurance companies can cover other things such as wigs and things of that nature, which are cosmetic, but fertility, unfortunately, it's just something that I'm not quite sure if there's not enough research or evidence, but now, you know, it's factual that it compromises fertility.
And this seems like, I mean, that's a quality of life situation too, because, I mean, you're a young person, and this isn't just for women. This is also, you've gotten involved to the point where this is also making sure that men are able to procreate, really.
Exactly. It's for both women and men. It does not discriminate, nor does cancer, as we all know, so.
Wow. I had no idea that insurance companies, do you know if this is only by state? Is this every state? Is there a state in the United States that covers?
Yes. California just passed it not too long ago. And I believe Maryland as well. So there are states slowly coming on board, and hopefully, you know, if we keep advocating, Illinois will be next.
Well, let's talk about this some more. I need to take a break here, and I want to talk to you about getting involved and how you've come through the treatment, the going through the second time. I'm imagining it had to be more aggressive the second time around. And if there are any listeners who've gone through this, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. I know that there are a lot of people who are feel very strongly when it comes to preservation of life. And I wonder if this is something that all those folks who are protesting in front of maybe Planned Parenthood or things like that, do you also get involved when the fact that that these eggs and the possibility of life are not preserved, or not, and people don't have the resources to do that? Is it something that falls under that, or is it just like, well, tough? I'm guessing that there are some people who react that way. So let's come back and talk about that. 312-981-7200. We are in studio with Megan Connolly. Am I saying your last name correctly?
You are.
I mean, because people probably add a couple of syllables.
Connolly, you know.
Those people. See, I don't even get things that wrong. More after this on 720 WGN. Joining me in studio is Megan Connolly. At the age of 19, she was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and she battled that, was able to survive it. I mean, here's the thing is that, you know, we kind of hear about kids, young people coming down with illnesses, and we feel badly for them. And we go to fundraisers. We talk about it. And here's a story that I don't think many of us even consider. A friend of mine, Mary, had been diagnosed with breast cancer when she was in her 30s. And she struggled to try it. She didn't think that she would ever be able to have kids after she survived that, all the rounds of chemo. And she was fortunate enough. But sometimes people find out after they they go through rounds of chemo that they are not, they're infertile. And Megan has been traveling to Springfield, has been advocating for legislation to expand coverage to include the preservation of fertility for both men and women. How has this journey been going down and talking to legislators and telling your story to a bunch of strangers?
Well, terrifying to start, but also very empowering. I feel so fortunate that I am able to tell my story and, you know, advocate on behalf of all the young adults and cancer survivors out there and for future cancer survivors.
How about people who are worried that because you were sick before that maybe you're not as healthy as you could be? Like, they're worried that maybe, you know, this is the last thing you should be worrying about is whether or not you can have kids. What would you say to those folks?
You know, that's so unfair to say. I feel the healthiest I've ever been.
You've been clear for how many years?
So it's been 7 years now.
So 7 years, you've been perfectly healthy. So to the 312, there you go. That answers your question. You've been healthy for 7 years, so why shouldn't you be able to have a baby now?
Exactly.
Were you able to preserve your eggs?
I was. I was one of the fortunate ones, all thanks to my parents, though. Again, it's not covered by insurance, so that was a very, very costly procedure just for all the stimulation medications and the procedure itself.
And what kind of questions do you get from legislators? I'm guessing the 312 is not alone in their comments. What kind of things are legislators saying to you who are pushing back and saying, and basically kind of, I'd imagine some of them write you off like this.
Some of them are concerned that, you know, every patient then will go through fertility preservation when in reality, it's only the patients who are at a high risk of becoming infertile. They don't, the first time I was diagnosed, it was not recommended. So, you know, it's only, doctors only recommend it when it's medically necessary.
Right. So they're not like frivolously just yanking eggs out or sperm. I mean, yanking sperm sounds a little bit weird. I apologize to everyone involved. But they're not needlessly doing it.
Correct.
This is in a dire situation where, and I don't know why we would take away someone's ability to plan their future when they're, you know, they're most vulnerable.
Absolutely.
What kind of support are you getting from legislators? Has this gone through? This is starting in the Senate in Springfield.
It actually passed the House.
It did. Congratulations.
Just passed the Senate as well. Okay. So I believe there is an amendment right now that's being reviewed, but it did pass the House and the Senate on Tuesday. 43-10. So
that had to feel very good.
Amazing.
Yeah. So the next step then is the amendment. And then once they get that cleared away, it'll take the governor to sign that into legislation.
Yes.
Well, and I think that, you know, do you get involved in like the political side of this or what it means or like who's playing games or will this fall on that?
I don't, because I can't let that impact me. You know, I believe in what I'm doing and I kind of got to just believe in that and I can't play politics on this.
Has anybody asked you? And again, this is the same texter. Did you think? Well, you know, I guess maybe I'll just adopt. But you know, part of living your life and planning is part of that, as becoming a mother in the way that you know, if people want to talk about a plan, you know, we are all able to find a way to procreate, you know, and maybe we hit a wall. Maybe some people are not able to, but if there is a way to preserve that, why wouldn't you want to follow that path, right?
Exactly. And, you know, nothing against other options of becoming a mother. There are, but I mean, to each their own. And if you have hopes and dreams of having a biological family and are able to make that dream come true, I think everyone deserves that chance.
I agree. And for those who are very religious and think, well, that just wasn't part of God's plan, maybe part of God's plan was for Megan to fight for people to be able to preserve that life within them, within men and women who, you know, for drastic reasons are become ill. Holy cats! We have this many phone calls? Megan! Hold on a second. Let's see what we have. Let me go there's some listeners that want to call. Michael, can you make sure that she's got headphones? Can you check and see if those headphones work? Because you won't be able to hear the callers. Here we go. Can you hear me through your headphones?
Yes.
Hold on. Yeah, sorry. I didn't plan you for... I didn't think people were going to call. I figured people would be like, oh, this sounds really sad. Can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Excellent. And he'll show you where the knob is to turn it, like the volume up and down. And we're going to take John first. Hi, John. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, honey. Boy, hey. It's starting off with a heavy topic right off the bat.
You know how we go sometimes.
Yeah.
It's important. It's not heavy. It's important.
Yes, it is. Anyway, in my family, all four of us children were adopted. because our those parents could not have children of their own. And we're all 3 years apart. It goes girl, boy, girl, and then me, the runt of the litter. The sister right above me, her husband and her decided that they were ready to have a family. Their first child was a daughter, beautiful as can be. And it was at that time that she was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. So they decided to hurry up and have another child. And they had a son, so they were like, well, now that we have one of each flavor, you know, we're ready to have, she went ahead and had her, is it a hysterectomy for the female? I can't keep track of which.
Yes, it is, hysterectomy to have the, okay. Yeah, reproductive organs removed.
They came out of it flying colors, no problem. They got it all. But a few years later, the son was diagnosed autistic. And I've always wondered in the back of my mind if her condition had anything to do with his condition. And it's permanent. He cannot speak, but even today he knows who I am. And the problem is that he has occasional, I don't know if it's seizures or spasms, but he really scares his nieces when he has that condition come up.
Okay. Interesting.
So I've always wondered about her cancer affecting him, you know, if that's possible.
Well, I'm guessing there is a lot of research. Look, you know, I haven't had cancer and I have a son who, I mean, it can happen to anybody. It can happen to any egg. It can happen, whether it's a virus across the placenta or, you know, there could be 1,000 reasons why something happens in utero. We do, John, thank you so much for your comments and your questions, but I wish we could answer you, but that's something that seems unknowable as to whether or not the child's situation is in relation to the mother's cancer. We have to take a break here, and we've got a lot of calls coming in. We've got Catherine, Peter, and Joe on hold. Let me take a break here, and then the news. Do you mind sticking around a little
Absolutely.
Bit longer? Excellent, because we have calls and texts coming in. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for hanging out with us pretty late on the Patty V Show. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Several years ago, a good friend of mine was diagnosed with breast cancer, and one of the things that she was concerned about was being able to have kids later on in life. She was worried that chemotherapy would make her infertile. What's interesting is that her reconstructive surgery was covered by her insurance policy, but being able to preserve her fertility was not, which is a fascinating thing. I don't know the logic behind it. Reconstructive surgery is, and by the way, bringing this up does not mean I want insurance companies to stop covering that. It's just the idea that here we're saying we're going to make you whole again by making sure your appearance is maintained, or we do something to make sure that you feel good about the way you look, but we don't want to cover your ability to live the life that you want to by preserving your eggs, preserving your sperm. Joining me in studio is Megan Connolly. At the age of 19, she was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and she was able to beat that back, and then it was diagnosed by the time she was 20, it had come back, and that was when you were confronted with the idea of preserving your fertility.
That's correct.
Have I put this? I'm trying to find a way back in for those. You know, maybe people are getting in their cars, people who are trying to figure out what the conversation is about. And you've been going to Springfield. This has passed. The legislation has passed out of the Senate and the House. They're now adding an amendment. Do you know much about what the amendment might be? Or that's one of those things you're like, you guys take care of that.
Right. I'm not quite sure what the amendment exactly is.
When you were down there with the folks that want you to, you know, testify during these hearings, because I've always wondered about this. I've never testified myself in Springfield. I've mostly gone as an observer and to share the story of what goes on down there. How do they prepare you for having those conversations with legislators? It's hard, isn't it? Because you don't know what to expect.
I mean, you want to make as many connections as you can.
Right.
Most people have someone who's been touched by cancer.
Right.
The more connections you can make, the closer people feel to you and, you know, really
yes.
feel your pain.
Would you tell people who have something important in their lives like this, you know, to get involved, to have your voice heard, to meet your legislators?
Oh my gosh, it has been such a whirlwind. And just by going down there, I see change happening before my eyes. And no matter how long it takes, every trip has been worth it.
This is what I've been trying to tell people for 3 years, is your legislators are there to serve you. That's why they're called public servants. They're there to hear your stories and find out what's important in the lives of the people in their communities.
Absolutely.
That's what it's all about. Hey, Catherine, how are you doing tonight?
Hi, Oh, pretty good, Patty. You always find a topic when I'm trying to go to bed early. So
sorry.
But I appreciate it.
I told you, you can always listen to the rest of the podcast, but I love when you call in. What do you want to say?
Well, short story. I was 21 when I was diagnosed with Hodgkin's. My dad said the warranty went out. This was 30 years ago, so the technology wasn't there yet. We were told, you know, you may or may not have kids. You know,
right?
Thank you. Oh. Luckily, I mean, we had 4 pregnancies, 3 kids, beautiful, healthy, smart. And I just want to tell Megan, thank you for going to bat for the people now going through it. Because when I went through it 30 years ago, I think out of pocket, I paid $500 and everything else was picked up.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you for
and
sharing
now
your story.
It's to have you take this horrible thing that happened to you and turn it around so that maybe someone will have that joy. And who knows, they may have a baby who will find a cure for cancer or find peace in the world, you know.
Isn't it interesting, Catherine, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, how many people want to get involved in, you know, when a woman is pregnant, making sure that she carries that baby to term. But when a woman wants to get pregnant, you know, we have a listener from the 815 who says, well, from the insurance company standpoint, saving fertility isn't medically necessary to treat lymphoma. Fertility treatment is seldom covered by insurance. So to our point about cosmetic surgery in the reconstructive surgery of a breast reconstructive surgery is not also medically, it's not medically necessary to recover from breast cancer. And yet we do cover that.
And I just want to know who's making these decisions.
Correct. Right. Well, apparently the 815 thinks that the insurance company perhaps is making the medically necessary decision.
Our only option was prayer. You know, we just prayed, you know, and if it was fate, if it was meant to be, we would have kids. And the good Lord, you know, did bless us.
With but, 4. I mean, there it, you go.
I want to thank Megan, though, for taking this on.
Oh, thank you
and
so much.
Strong, girl.
Thank okay? you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thanks, Patty.
Thank you, Catherine. Have a great evening. I'll talk to you again soon. Thank you. Here's Peter. Peter, what did you want to say?
Hi there. I've called in many times before. The last time I talked to you, I only gave you about 10 different voices.
Which one do you want to give us this time?
Well, I suppose I could use some sort of voice, but I just stick with my own this time.
It's a great
voice. My story, well, thank you. You're I've welcome. tried to cultivate it ever since I discovered W.C. Fields.
Oh, that's right. I remember that one. Sure.
Anyway, I was 22 when what looked to me to be about a golf ball sized blob embedded in my right thigh, just at the groin, was removed and discovered to be Hodgkin's.
Wow.
And from there, an insurance luckily covered a lot, but fertility, no. I went from the local guy who took this out to University of Chicago to get treated. And in 77, things were kind of crude. They had a spleenectomy because they couldn't test. They had no ability to biopsy the spleen, which means I'm missing one of the 4 types of T cells. That's a normal person's body defenses from infection.
Okay.
So I'm always got to be cautious about that. The massive amount of radiation, it was high-energy X-ray that I had and kind of an inverted Y with the both legs having a little stub down into them and then coming up and making kind of a bend right under the diaphragm to cover the liver. And, long story short, I still can't go outside without a T-shirt on.
Oh, boy.
At least tank right. top because the skin
sure.
in that area I'm certain it's sensitive, but the one time about a year after the radiation therapy that I did get caught out and got irradiated by the sun, I burned everywhere but that area.
Really? Oh boy.
I get what my dad would call a Scottish tan. But that area didn't react.
Huh.
And but it's I bless this young gal for what she's doing. I did pay for my own preservation, because the area that got irradiated was within a within about an inch of well, I don't know what the polite term would be on the radio, but I could always just say family jewels.
Oh boy. Right.
But the and I am infertile. I got tested a while back out of my own pocket just to see. But I quit paying for storage about a decade ago. Never made use of it.
But you wanted to have that option, right?
I wanted to have the option. My lifetime dream has always been the middle American, I don't know, maybe it goes back to the first TV I got inoculated with, like Leave It to Beaver, just middle America, family, you know, wife, kids.
Sure. Yeah, I think a lot of us have that dream.
You know, that kind of dream, and got kind of turned on its side. Now, I love what she's got. She's got hope and ambition. I shut down when I went through, after I went through this. I didn't expect to live long. I dropped long-term planning. I lived for the now, and I'm paying for it now, with not much of a savings to try to turn into retirement. Anyway, and I'm still dealing with the after effects of the radiation therapy.
Oh, really?
Internally.
Oh, boy.
The only things that, the only thing that helps me with my lower gut problems happens to be something that I cannot obtain legally right now, because I don't fit one of the 40 listed items that our state allows for herbal medication.
Sure, hopefully that'll change in the next year or so. I think that there's a move to expand and any of the needs for medicinal marijuana. They're trying to expand that. Even Governor Rauner, I think, is trying to expand that one.
Mm-hmm.
Have you? Well, I don't want to ask if you've dabbled to see if it has any positive effects.
I ask away. I really don't care. Who knows? I'm so upfront about this anymore.
Right.
No, I have had I don't know how graphic you want me to get. I don't want to get graphic.
Fair enough.
I have had to live in or near a bathroom for at least the first half of my day.
Oh.
Every day.
Since you were diagnosed?
Since the radiation therapy.
Since the radiation. Okay.
Damaged my lower gut, and it's still damaged. There is a condition called radiation colitis. And it's something you're supposed to recover from and get over after the radiation goes away. Nobody told my intestinal tract.
Right.
And it hasn't. It has not recovered. Now, while I was undergoing the radiation therapy, I also found out that I'm allergic to just about every anti-nausea medicine there is. And one
That's
of the doctors,
not helpful. Right.
Yeah. And one of the doctors, no, I found out the hard way with a grand mal seizure from one of them. But the doctor, afterwards, when I was back up at the University of Chicago, down in their, what they call the tunnel, which is where they do their radiation therapies, second sub-basement.
Sure.
They
in the bowels, as it were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the doctor said, well, I can't really officially tell you this, but some of our chemotherapy patients are having good success using marijuana to control their nausea.
Right.
Because the only other option they gave me was to be an inpatient for the 2 months of daily treatments and be on morphine drip.
Peter, what a long haul you've had. And I hope that that there's something that that brings you some comfort. I have to run, Peter. I know that you're sharing quite a bit of your story and being very vulnerable about it and talking about it on our show while we're talking to Megan Connolly about her story as well. All important stories to share with each other. I've got to take a break here. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you, Peter. I want to thank Megan Connolly for joining us in studio again. If you're just joining our conversation, she was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma when she was was only 19 years old, and it reoccurred again when she was 20. And that's when she's realized that her fertility was vulnerable. She might have been infertile after that, and it actually costs out-of-pocket resources from her parents. Now, I know that a lot of people think, oh, well, you know, you can think all different kinds of things, but first of all, let's think about people who realize they can't conceive. You only have to prove, or at least tell your doctor you tried for a year, and your infertility is covered. I don't know what the numbers are like, but I'm pretty sure those numbers are pretty high for people who are like, oh, we've been trying for a year. And I'm not saying anyone's gaming it, but if you're going to go after somebody who is just saying, hey, let's take into consideration the men and women who are diagnosed and want to preserve their fertility. And for those of you who are wondering, it's about 1,000 people. It's not a huge, it's not an additional burden on insurance companies. It only affects about 1,000 people annually in Illinois. And of the nearly 320,000 U.S. women diagnosed with breast cancer each year, 29,000 are 45 years or younger, and the risk of permanent infertility is, after chemotherapy, it ranges from 20 to 70%. Now, this legislation has passed. This is House Bill 2617. It has passed out of the House and out of the Senate by bipartisan support. Now, before you go, Megan, what do you want people to know about this legislation and where they can really, you know, what it means to you?
I would love people to know that just cancer has the ability to take away so many things from, you know, a young woman or a young man, that if we can help them preserve one thing and have hope for their future, that's amazing. There's so many struggles that patients have to deal with, that one less burden is something that's truly cherished by many patients.
Thank you so much, Megan. That's beautifully put. And thank you so much for telling your story here, going down to Springfield, speaking for others who really, I think, will benefit from the stories that you've shared with them, and making it personal. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Patty.
Have a great evening. We'll see you again.
All right.
See you at Knife and Tyne.
Yes.
We've got to go to Knife and Tyne.
We'll be going away. I love you both.
Is this a... what do we listen to? What wonderful, heartbreaking song is this, Michael Heidemann, to set up our next segment?
One and only Tammy Wynette.
Tammy Wynette.
D-I-V-O-R-C.
Are we going to talk about love and relationships? Is that what we're going to talk about next?
I think so.
I think I've been hearing this promo that there are two new podcasts being launched at WGNplus.com. One of them is Apparently, and the other one is Single, Married, Divorced. I don't know if that's one person that's done all three, but I get the feeling it's one of each. Joining me in studio are Allison, Tom, and Eric. Eric Runge, as you know from WGN Radio, WGN Television, he'll introduce us to his co-hosts. And Eric, which one are you?
Oh, I'm single. I am the single one. And that's why I put this together.
You say it like together. I should know. You say it like, Patty,
well, I appreciate
know.
That you didn't know. I mean, there was a question in the air. I love that, at least.
So you're the single one.
I'm the single one. You know, maybe it's fun. Why don't you guess? Who do you think is the married one? Who's the divorced one?
Oh, wow. People are hiding their hands? No. I'm going to go married, divorced.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
All right. Oh, well, I have your microphone. Let me find your microphone. Does that one work? Let me see.
I think, yep. I'm on now.
There we go.
There it is. Excellent. Okay. So, Allison, you are divorced.
I am divorced.
How long were you married?
6 years.
You're like, I try to forget.
But it's been a while, though.
I went through hypnosis. No.
Exactly. That seems like the way to do it.
I think so.
You know how you need an epidural for delivery? I think you need to have a hypnosis for a divorce. It doesn't seem the protocol for that. So where did you meet your husband that you ended up divorcing? And Eric just said a while ago.
Yeah. I was a PA out in LA, and he was remodeling a house.
Production assistant, correct?
I'm sorry. Yes, production assistant.
Okay. Does Eric correct you during do the footnotes for all of your comments on your podcast?
Not usually. I think he's feeling very protective here at WGN. Okay. I'm like, this is how it's done. He was remodeling an uncle's house, and he came around the corner with no shirt and a tool belt.
Hello.
That's the theme of our podcast, is shirtless tool belt.
I
think it comes up in every episode.
Some people have a type. No, just kidding.
There you go. And so were you married out in Los Angeles?
We ended up, he was from Wyoming. He was he grew up on a cattle ranch.
I was going to say cowboy.
Yes. And so we had been dating for maybe a year and a half, and his family asked if he'd come back and run it. And I was like, oh, that sounds like so much fun. So we moved there, and... that's where we were married in Chicago, because this is where I'm from, but that's where we lived.
Okay. Much. No. Was it more the relationship or the newness of running a cattle ranch that do you think did you in the relationship?
Oh, I think there was a lot. I don't think it was, I mean, the cattle ranch was, I imagine going there and riding horses and picking wildflowers.
Yes.
And
I can hear the music. Raindrops keep falling on my head.
And you're saying it wasn't like that, Allison?
It wasn't. I was shocked. You were in the middle of nowhere, and I'm used to, you know, I always lived in bigger cities, and I had lots of people that would stop by randomly, and so it was, you know, it was definitely different.
It's a shock. Yeah. It's a shock to the system.
Right.
Yeah, you gotta ease into that. You gotta, like, start like an Aurora. You can't just start with Wyoming. You gotta work your way out.
Huntley would have been a good stop.
Yeah,
on the way.
Yeah. I think so. I think you get married and you go, let's see what it's like to, like, maybe raise a few rabbits in Huntley. You know, try that way. And Tom, you are married?
Yes, married. I'll be 8 years in August.
Okay, so, and where did you meet your wife?
Actually, I met her at the White Hen Pantry at the corner of Southport and Clark.
Okay, was yes. She getting, like, she was standing there trying to decide between the tuna salad sandwich and the ham and cheese, and which one had gone bad?
So I was actually the sandwich guy. She was getting a donut, and I lived across the street from the White Hen, so I knew all the, you know, I was a single guy living alone. I'd be over there all the time.
You knew all
so
the regulars?
I knew all the employees.
Okay.
So Glenn was working.
So Glenn's helping you out. He's matchmaking for you.
Glenn did all the work.
Okay.
So I walked in. I said, hey, Glenn, there's a cute girl in this cab out there. He's like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah. So I went about my business, and then she walked in. And she was in the cab forever, and I was like, what were you doing in that cab? You're in there forever. And she's like, oh, I was paying. And she, like, went about her business, and then Glenn took over.
Wow.
And the rest is history. Glenn's like, oh, you got to meet Tommy. He's the best. He's the best.
Matchmaker Glenn at the White Hen Pantry. Does he do that service for other single people?
As far as I know, I'm the only one.
Okay.
We exchanged numbers and hung out a couple times and started dating, and here we are.
And here you are eight years.
One child later.
And how long were you dating before you got married?
Oh, I think it was 4.5 years.
Wow.
Five. I mean, I was, I really wanted to make sure I was ready to.
I'm guessing
to get
she
married.
Remembers how long you were dating before you got married.
She does.
Because I was dating for 5 years before I got married. 5 years, hon. I still love you. So, Eric, you brought this together as a podcast because you're like, why am I single? Look at these people in my life.
Yeah. Well, the big thing is, yes, I am single. I had been single. And usually by this point in our lives, let's just say north of 40, we have all, had a chance to meet people that are married, that are divorced, and that are still single. And so what we decided to do was that we would take this group of people, grab some questions from people that we know, people that we maybe have been on dates with, people that go out on app dates, things like
people
that.
People that broke up with us.
Do you ask, because I had the weird moment of actually being in an Oprah Winfrey audience one time when I was really, really young. And it was a woman who thought she was a good catch, and Oprah brought out all of her ex-boyfriends who talked about why they dumped her.
Oh my God. Really?
And it was bizarre.
Oh my gosh, but that had to be brutal.
It was so surreal. She was like an editor for Vanity Fair. So I think that she had written an article about being single. So Oprah wanted to do a whole thing out. She brought on the ex-boyfriends. So when you talk, are you talking to exes about like what, where, you know, are you talking, Tom, are you talking to any of your exes for this
podcast?
Those
files are sealed.
They're closed?
Yeah, how about you? No chance.
Eric, are you talking to people you've dated and it hasn't gone anywhere? Or
I'm actually looking at somebody I dated before right now, actually.
To date again?
Not to date again.
But to have a conversation and say, hey, what happened?
I dated Eric at one point.
You dated Eric at one point? Okay. But that's not how you guys met. You'd known each other before that.
Actually, right? I knew Tom. Tom and I have known each other since college, even though we went to different schools. Allison and Tom, they went to high school together, so they've known each other for a very long time. It was St. Patrick's Day, and we had a big group all out together, and Allison and I met, and there was
so
there
you
was
didn't
a band.
Put this podcast together to go like, hey Allison, why didn't we work out and can we try it again?
No, that'd be really extravagant.
The real plan is revealed.
Somebody one of my brothers said, you know, do you think that this is his secret way of, you know, you guys spending time together again? And the other brother said, I don't think there's any secret. Just kidding.
And for this podcast, I mean, it is about perspective, right?
Because that's what we wanted to do, is bring the three different perspectives together and talk about these relationship questions that come up, you know, for everybody, and get the different ways people look at them. Because me being single, obviously I see things a lot differently than Allison sees them as being divorced and Tom sees them as being married.
Right. Let's talk about those questions that come up. 312-981-7200. Do you have any questions or comments for the new podcast, Single, Married, Divorced, with Eric, Tom, and Allison? 312-981-7200. They've covered all their bases. I don't think. Is there another category? Single, married, divorced. A widow.
A widow.
Yeah. Bill,
polygamist.
Yeah. What was that?
Polygamist.
Oh, polyamorous. Yeah. Yep.
We may be looking at applications. So.
Yeah, I think this is a good place to start. Well, those can be categories like that you take on a rotating basis.
We don't want to bite off too much right away.
Yes, this covers a lot of the population, I think, right here. When we get into the other categories that are legal or not legal, it gets a little bit different. More after this with our guest, 312-981-7200. You can call or text us with any comments or questions. What comes up in your life? And what are your thoughts? I mean, I kind of imagine married and divorced just want to tell you how to live your life. But let me see if that's true. More after we come back on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for hanging out with us pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. We are live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and the very first podcast of Single, Married, Divorced just hit this past Monday. The second episode will be on every single Monday. You'll have a new episode. And joining me in studio are Allison, Tom, and Eric. And Tom is married. Allison is the divorced one. I feel like we have to label everybody. It's all about labels, isn't it? And you are the single one, Eric.
Yep, that's right. Still single.
Since the last break, nothing has changed. Are you using any of the apps?
I am. I'm on one of the apps, and I've tried a few of them, I don't know, several years ago, but it's a lot of work, and I don't even think I'm very good at it, to be honest with you. I mean, I kind of go through stages where it's like, okay, I'll swipe for a while, and then it's like, I don't want to deal with this.
Yeah, he's not good at it. He just swiped left on a girl. I was like, what are you doing swiping left on that girl?
Single Tom from the past.
He would have been swiping right on, I think, 90%.
The first two girls he swiped left on, I was like, whoa, sorry, they're not good enough.
I do have a lot of standards. I mean, you know, when I'm looking at...
What's a deal breaker? How's that? And this is for Allison, too, because...
Deal breaker for on the apps? For,
yes, on the apps.
Professional photos.
Okay.
I mean, if I see professional photos, I mean, I think you're trying too hard. You're going to go... I mean, that's a left.
She's got her hair is blowing in the wind.
Yeah, I mean, and you can tell professional photos rather than, you know, just people hanging out. Another thing,
maybe they're very good taking selfies. You don't know.
Well,
are selfies bad?
No, I'm okay. As long as they're not like gym selfies or, you know, sitting in the car selfies. I don't know how that became a thing, but apparently it's a huge thing because everybody on Bumble has a photo of them behind the wheel of the car. I don't get it, but
it's a red light. Everyone looks good at the red light. I don't know what that is. I don't do those.
Either. I don't know. And that and the, like Snapchat filters with the, you
the
know,
bunny ears.
Yeah,
no.
that's an automatic left.
Are you on any of the apps, Allison, as a divorced mom, single mom now?
Yeah, that's right. I am on no apps.
No apps. You've never tried them?
No. This is actually a point of contention with us right now. They're trying to have me go on apps.
Why? Why do you want to? It's not her thing.
Well, it's not even us. I mean, she has one of her friends that she's convinced has already set up a profile for her and is setting and screening these men for her to go out on these dates. I don't really, I mean, we've talked about this on our podcast a few times, just about, you know, the anxiety of getting on them for the first time. And we actually just kind of talked about, we also come from a generation where when this all started, this was kind of a, you're one of those. But now it's definitely mainstream, I think.
I want Allison on the apps just for the material.
Just so you have the conversations.
They want me on for selfish reasons, so that'll have something to talk
about. More material.
About.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, Eric, when you go on a date with somebody, I mean, you know, is it starting out with messaging back and forth, and then you move on to having a phone call?
I don't do the phone calls.
What is that about?
Here's my thing with phone calls. There are three people in my life that I talk to on the phone, other than, you know, obviously for work. But I talk to my mom, I talk to my dad, and I talk to my sister. And that's it. I don't talk to these people on the phone. I mean, Tom and Allison, and we always message.
Esmeralda, up in traffic. She's right down the hall from me, but I have to look up at the screen. As you were before you and V met, did you meet V on an app?
I did not.
You did not.
My ex-boyfriend of 10 years, though, I did meet him on Yahoo Personals.
Ooh. Ooh. Wow. Yeah. That's going back.
Did you, were you the same as Eric where you would not, you would only text? I mean, you told me
I still don't.
Point,
I don't. To anybody.
You don't phone call at
all? I call my mom. That's it.
Yeah.
Anybody else calls me, I'm like, what do you want? Why are you calling me?
I don't call as anymore. I think I tried once.
Because it was weird.
Me.
I'm just like, something wrong? Something happened?
Exactly.
You can send me a text. I'm going to see you in like 5 minutes. It's fine.
That's why I've switched to voice to text, because no one will talk to me on the phone. So I just talk to my voice to text. Poor Michael's like, I have no idea what this jarble of garbage is.
I can compute it now. I can translate it pretty well.
Starting to translate.
I call it Patty Talk.
It's Patty Talk. Now, how are you meeting anybody, Allison? Have you had a chance to?
Sometimes. I mean, my dating is very sporadic. My children are about to go on a little trip for 4 weeks to Wyoming.
I was going
to
say,
yes.
Go see dad.
So that is usually when my dating starts. And then
you have dating season while the kids are out of town?
I do. All the neighbors get very excited.
Let's see what she brings home tonight. Are you meeting people through friends? I mean, that seems
right.
to be the
That's
most
usually,
typical.
Yeah, it's usually set up by someone. I mean, I'm also a little... overly protective of, my house and my children. So they kind of have to get screened before I go on a date with them, just in case I get abducted,
Yeah, yeah, no, that's fair. That makes a lot of responsibilities. You don't want to leave the kids alone. Now, Tom, do you live vicariously at all? It sounds like you were looking at Eric's whatever app to see what he was swiping and dismissing.
It's a favorite hobby. Any single buddy, I'm like, give me your app. And just, it's just, to me, it's almost bizarre.
Do you have a
it's
lot
like
of...
going shopping or something, and
it
you
is,
know
it
it's
is
just strange to me.
Do you have a lot of other married friends, or do you generally hang out with other people that are single?
No, at this point, so I have a kind of high school buddies, which where Eric kind of falls into that category. I have college buddies, and I'm down to just a few remaining bachelors on each, which means there's not many bachelor parties left. There's not many weddings left.
Eric's going to keep waiting, it sounds like.
Yeah. I think eventually we'll have a bachelor party anyway.
It's like,
no matter
it's
what happens.
It's not a bad idea,
actually. A surprise wedding. Can we do a surprise wedding for you?
I have 4 weeks coming up. We could do it then.
There we go. Just get out of the way now.
Maybe Allison could meet a man then, too.
If you ever get a chance to, you just do it again. That's all. This is just a preemptive strike. Is what you could do. Now I know that you were talking about some questions that come up. I don't know if this is something that will come up on your show. Maybe you need to toss this out to some of your friends, because I don't know if it applies to any of you. Do you ever talk about separated but house sharing for money reasons, for nobody moving out, especially dating and the partner comes over while the ex is home?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's an awesome question.
Yeah, it is a fantastic question. It definitely does not apply. Well, I mean, I have something similar, but not quite. But Allison, when you got divorced, how did that work?
My divorce was kind of weird. He asked for a divorce on a Wednesday night, and there was a few days of craziness before that. And then he said, we were in the middle of moving to a different house, and he said, my girlfriend thinks I should sleep in the other house because she kind of feels like if we're sleeping in the same house that she's afraid something might happen.
Like he might cheat on her.
Right.
With his wife.
Yeah, with his wife. Cheated.
That's correct.
Correct. That's fun. That sounds like... She's like, I'm fine. I'm totally fine.
Now it's all funny.
Yeah, I can tell. You seem absolutely elated by the turn of events.
So, yeah, I like your story better when you just had to share an apartment.
Well, that's the story I was going to tell. I mean, not exactly. I wasn't bringing people over. But anyway, I had been living with this woman for about 2 years, actually. And then we broke up. It wasn't a great breakup. But at the time, we only had one bed. And we also had a lease. And so we basically had to sleep in the same bed for another 2 months before the lease was out. And
You didn't sleep on the couch?
It seems like that's a standoff there. Like, I'm not sleeping on the couch.
Well,
you sleep on the couch.
It was my bed.
That's what I thought it was. Yep, that's the direction I thought you were going to go in. I'm not sleeping on the couch. You sleep with no air mattresses? That seems like
Did
you end up having?
Basically, I would sleep on my side, right at the end of the bed, and I didn't get much sleep. But
I don't want to know about that. More after this on 720 WGN. There's a brand new podcast on WGNplus.com. Single, Married, Divorced, and joining me in studio are the hosts Allison, Tom, and Eric. If you haven't been listening, I'm going to make you guess which one's which. I'm kidding. Tom is married. He's been married for, I feel like I'm on a game show. Tom has been married for 8 years. He was dating his wife before that for somewhere between 4 and 5 years. He's not entirely sure.
Yeah.
You're supposed to keep somewhat of an idea, a little bit of track.
I know, and I think she would know exactly, probably.
How did you propose?
So, I think this was kind of cool. I don't know if anyone else does, but we were doing, she had a condo, and I was living with a buddy of mine in the townhouse, literally right behind her condo, and I always help her condo out, because they were self-managed, so we were doing the big spring cleanup. So I was like planting some stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, hey, Beth, come over here. Check out this big rock I just found. She walked over. And I was already like on my, I was obviously on my knee. Like,
aww, that's
and then I like
cute.
Held it up. And then we like kept working, basically.
Was she happy with the proposal?
I think she was happy. I mean, she's not big on like big public ones.
Right.
And I feel like if I would have like rented a limo, like that's kind of obvious.
Wait, did you say you proposed and you went back to gardening?
Well, then like the neighbors were all like, oh my God, this is awesome. You guys have to go like stop working. And we're like, well, we'll make a few phone calls. But then we just went back and
did
kept
she
working.
Garden with the ring on?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Wow.
No, actually, you know what? Because I thought I had a ring size, but I had a ring size for her right hand, not her left hand.
How did you get a ring size at all?
Because I remember once she said it once, and I was like, I'm going to be such a good boyfriend. I'm going to remember this. And I'm like, I remember you're a 7 or whatever it is. She's like, oh, that's my right hand. My left hand's smaller.
Oh, boy.
So.
And Allison was married for 6 years and now has been divorced for 10 years. Do you feel like you are in a place to give Eric advice as somebody who's been there, done that, made it through to the other side? Or you're kind of finding out, you're figuring it out too at this point.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're kind of back in the same spot. I mean, I think I can, you know, I think I'm good now at spotting like, you know, red flags,
the
danger
warning
signs,
yeah.
Things like that. And, you know, more like advice on, you know, what's really important in a relationship, like what must you agree on? What are things that, you know, don't really matter?
What must you agree on?
Not
starting a cattle ranch in Wyoming.
You know, a place to live, that would be good. Same
right.
State usually works well. You know, we were talking about political issues before, and I guess, you know, things that are important to you, like, if you know, politics are important to me, so that would be important to my relationship, or, you know, smoking, things like, I mean, we all can lay out, you know, what's important to us, and that's how you have to prioritize it.
Because it's been a while since I've been with my husband for 23 years.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm trying to think of like what were my deal breakers. But I was a monogamous dater, like a serial monogamist. Mm-hmm. You know, I would like, I never really went on just dates. So Eric, are you going on like one and duns? And
yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty typical with the app dating.
Yes.
You know, occasionally there'll be 2, 3, maybe 4. You know, recently, I I'm pretty fresh back on the app. I had been dating somebody for, I don't know, several months prior to getting back on. So I wasn't on them. And even when I was, like I said, I'm not very good at it, but I don't think I am. But there has been a couple of, especially one woman that I went on a couple of dates with, and it was just kind of, one of them ended. It was like, I felt like I was kind of just hanging out with my buddy.
Okay.
And we kind of talked about it. She's like, yeah, I kind of feel that way too. And we still hang out occasionally.
As friends, right?
Yeah, as friends. And everything's fine and, you know, it's good.
What's the longest relationship you've been in?
That would have been 3 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So were you close to proposing? Saying, hey, look at my big rock?
that line's taken.
I'm sorry. I'm
copyrighted.
Sorry. Uh-huh.
I would say... I've been in 3 very serious relationships. One, I think I was young. I was just too young. I was, you know, in my early 20s. It was right after college. But we talked about marriage. And then there's been 2 later in my life where It definitely has come up and talked about, and then obviously didn't go that far, but for various reasons, I think. But I think also at this point, like kind of what Allison said too, I mean, there are certain things that I'm just, you know, that are, I can spot red flags now, I think, pretty well. Occasionally they slip by me, but eventually they're going to come out.
And right.
I don't think I'm necessarily picky per se, but there are certain things that I do want. And I mean, I think a prime example, like my parents' relationship is amazing. They're about ready to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. And I mean, they truly love one another, and you can see that and you can feel it. And I grew up with that, and I really want that kind of a relationship, and I'm going to keep looking, and I'm very comfortable with myself.
Right.
I don't need to be dating somebody, and I'll go several months without dating somebody.
Allison, what do you hope people, when they listen to the podcast, what do you think they'll come away with listening to you guys give your perspectives and have these conversations?
Well, I think what ends up happening a lot is that, you know, everyone goes through kind of the same stuff, you know, when people first get divorced, like, oh, no one's going to want to date me, I'm divorced, or no one's going to want to date me, I have kids. But, you know, everyone goes through the same cycle and same insecurities. And then, you know, we all end up, you know,
finding your way.
Right.
Yeah. Do you want to listen to can we listen to a minute of your podcast?
We do have a clip. Let me set it up just a little bit. This so the way we do the podcast is we have a poll question, then we have a question that we discuss, and then we tell a dating app story. And this was from our first episode, which we just launched on Monday. And it, just to set it up a little bit, this was my very first dating app date I went on. And basically, I met this woman. It was a great date. And we pick it up here towards the end of the date. After I thinking, this has just been a fantastic date.
Okay.
And now I'm thinking to myself, all right, this was completely supposed to happen. Obviously, I am supposed to be with this woman.
Destiny.
All of the stars aligned.
Yes. I mean, we had a great time. She wasn't supposed to be there. It's a great story to tell people, like how we met.
As you're at your wedding,
exactly.
Giving the toast.
Exactly. All this running through my mind. And then I never saw her again.
Uh-oh. I think she picked up on your... I think she looked at you and was like, this guy is already obsessed with me. I'm out. Or did Paul maybe Paul made another effort. Paul, the PI.
He is a private investigator. Yeah. He probably did a little research.
He probably followed you guys on the whole date.
Right, right.
I don't know.
Yeah. It was interesting.
Wait, why did you never see her again?
We did text. And I said, hey, I'd like to get together again. And then she sent me a text. I said, hey, do you know a girl named Jen? And I said, yeah, we went out on a couple of dates one time. Mm. She said, well, Jen is my best friend.
And this is why you shouldn't go on dating apps.
This is an amazing story.
Right.
So Jen sabotaged
me. Yeah. I don't think I did anything wrong to Jen. We just didn't click.
I think maybe the Jen story is next week's episode. What did Eric
next
do
week,
to Jen?
We interview Jen.
I get the feeling this is going to be walking Eric through his therapy sessions, but in front of people with his friends.
Well, it's certainly cheaper than therapy, that's for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, this is a new podcast here at WGN. Go to WGNplus.com to hear Single Married Divorce with Allison, Eric, and Tom. And we look forward to seeing you guys again if you want to come in. I know it's late, so maybe on a Friday night when you've got someone who wants
well,
to.
Well, and so maybe in her dating season, maybe she'll have an off night.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll bring them here.
The date.
Oh,
yes.
Even better.
That would work out really well. Bring
Patty,
your wife,
yeah.
Bring a date.
Love that.
Take care of all of that. I got your big rock right here. All right. Again, go to WGNplus.com to listen to Single Married Divorce. Thank you guys for hanging out with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Thank you. Safe drives. Safe drives. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you so much for hanging out pretty late with us on the Patty V Show. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and we hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are. And I hope that you show more restraint when you're shopping online than I do. Esmeralda, I was trying to do a spring clean, and I realized I have way more gadgets. I have a bullet, one of those little blenders.
Yeah.
I have one of those, and I have like all the mugs that go with it, some with the handles, and then with the lids, and then with the drink tops and stuff. And I have not used it, I want to say like 6 years. And Steve's like, I've been looking all over for that. And I'm like, you never asked. I could have told you it was up on that shelf that we just never use it.
She had the Nutribullet.
The Nutribullet?
It's a little stronger.
Is it? So it
and it, I think it's bigger too.
Now, what do you have any gadgets? Do you, are you, I know what as buy that. What has as bought?
Oh my gosh. Well, I just recently, I was gifted a KitchenAid mixer.
I see, and I want one of those, but I worry that I wouldn't use it. Do you use it? Have you?
I've actually taken up to baking a little bit more.
Nice.
I recently bought an Instant Pot.
I forgot my, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I have the Nutribullet, I own an ice cream machine, I have a rice cooker, I have, you know, the usuals, a hand mixer, hand blender, I own regular blender.
Is this all just in the kitchen, or do you finally get to store it in other places in the house?
No, when I was living alone, my friend, I had no cabinet space whatsoever, like two cabinets. So some friends of mine, she gifted me a shelving unit that she wasn't using. And it's awesome because it's red. It looks like a 50s diner.
I was going to say like a retro look.
Mm-hmm.
That's great.
And it's got like at least five shelves on it. So that's where I put all my gadgets and all my
Could you take a
kitchen
picture?
Equipment.
Could you take that a picture of that for me?
I could. I'll have to clean it first.
Is there room on this five shelf?
Oh, I also have a unit? Food saver.
And a food saver is the one where you put the plastic Ziploc bag and you seal it.
Yes.
And does that work well?
I like it because you can seal up stuff that's in plastic bags.
Right.
So say you have a bag of rice, you have chips.
Oh,
you don't have to necessarily suck out the air. You can just seal it.
Just and then obviously keeps it from getting
and then storing
stale.
It. Yeah. All especially, right. You know, stuff like sugar. Like if you don't use and it's in a plastic bag, I know confectioner sugar comes usually in a plastic bag. You can seal that up. And then, you know, if you don't have containers to store it.
Well, especially because those things attract, you know, ants and those little worm meals or whatever those things are called.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's all that kind of stuff.
You have a lot of gadgets.
I have a lot of
gadgets. Do you have a waffle maker?
Yeah, because you gifted me one.
Oh, that's right. I was wondering about that.
Because I had one before that.
I think I gifted you one and bought one for myself. Now, do you use your waffle maker?
I don't use it as often as I should, but I'm going to use it more now because it's so easy in the KitchenAid mixer to make nice stiff egg whites.
Oh.
Because before, you're like, at least with a ham, you have to, you know, use your own muscle.
Right.
But this thing, you just throw the egg whites in there and let it go.
It's just done.
Yeah.
Wait, now, so do you use both the Instapot and the rice cooker?
Yeah, I don't really like using the Instapot for all the other things that you use it for, because it has a slow cooker function. It has all these other different functions. I just use it to saute, to pressure cook, and then I still haven't used it, but I want to, the yogurt setting.
This is amazing. I mean, I'm trying to look at because do you have a spiralizer?
I do. You gave me one.
That's right. Because I have a spiralizer,
and
too.
And I also had the As Seen on TV one, the Veggetti.
I'm sorry. The Veggetti?
Yeah. Because like spaghetti.
Oh, that's right. The
vegetables.
Veggetti.
Yes.
I was hearing something else.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I was. So the Veggetti. Do you have a juicer?
I don't. I don't really like the idea of juicing. Because that
the
takes,
pulp is a pain
in the
ass.
Takes out all the pulp.
Well, I've
that's
always
where
thought,
all the fiber is. I make smoothies.
That's what I've heard too. And that's I have a BlendTec blender, and that chops up the pineapple really well.
I want that.
Well,
for
so
my
next
purchase.
Well, I would look between people. Some people love the Vitamix, and some people love the BlendTec.
Yeah. I need to find someone who has a Vitamix so I can compare and contrast.
You know who might? It might be. I think that you might ask Hannah Stanley.
Okay.
I think that she's...
So I can
she's familiar.
Pick brains.
Yes. And I think it's got like a tamper. It's gadget talk.
Yeah.
Kitchen gadget talk.
No, I have so many. It's really bad.
I didn't realize you had that. And I now looking at the list, I know I've contributed a couple of things as well.
I have the rice cooker I have, a friend of mine gave it to me. He's from Japan and he was moving back and he was just giving his stuff away. And I'm like, I can't just take it. So I paid $10 for it. And it's this really great rice cooker. I've had it for years and years and years.
Can you cook something besides rice in it?
Yeah, I've made, you can make like oatmeal and porridge in it and stuff
that.
Sense. I've made it's this rice porridge soup kind of thing called congee.
Oh, right.
So you put the rice in, you just let it go. And it gets like really soupy and soft, and it's this nice, comforting,
ooh,
warm thing. You can put an egg in it, and it's really super tasty. Some chicken stock.
I like the work you're doing in your kitchen.
Yeah. I enjoy cooking. I like looking at recipes, and like sometimes I'll just look for very difficult recipes and I'll be like, yeah, let's do that for the day.
What's, by the way, as I'm talking to you, listening to you describe these things, I'm eating Trump hair.
Oh, nice.
I was given
How does it taste?
I was given a cotton candy that is, it's butterscotch cotton candy. Oh. I've never had this before. This was gifted to me by someone at the station. So I'm going to continue. Do you have a,
I don't think I've ever had flavored cotton candy.
Me neither. I'll give you some.
Except sugar.
It's I don't know why it's butterscotch. I don't know if it's supposed to.
I mean, that's cool.
I'm going to bring you some during the news. Mm. You don't have a cotton candy maker, do you?
I don't.
You don't want one of those.
No.
That seems like a very rare.
It's a very one use.
Yeah, I think so too.
Machine.
Well, I'm curious because I'm trying to figure out what I should and shouldn't keep. I'm terrible at getting rid of things.
No, so am I.
Yeah.
I have a blender, like a old school blender, but I'm going to get rid of it because it's not that great.
See, okay,
to begin with.
I want to come back because I think I know. I don't know if I know the extent of Michael's list of gadgets, but we know one thing. My husband keeps talking about one of the gadgets that Michael has, and I want to talk about that too. And what should I get rid of? 312-981-7200. Are there any gadgets that you have that you just swear by? Because I'm curious. Some of these things I feel like I'm keeping. Maybe that waffle iron, by the way, there's a whole cookbook called, like, I think it's like Will It Waffle, and you can make all kinds of like sandwiches.
Yeah,
and,
see?
And chicken breasts and things like
that.
See,
that's too. The kind of stuff where I'll think, I have this machine. What can I do with it? That's cool.
Exactly. If anybody has any tips for all the gadgets that we have between the two of us, possibly between the three of us, Michael's got his collection as well. And we'll talk about that when we come back. 312-981-7200. If you spend any time on Facebook, you'll find these things come up in your feed that look like, oh, look at the 20 craziest gadgets you can buy on Amazon.com, or find out why people love these kitchen gadgets. And I'm always tempted I'm always looking at things even, and you'll see another list that says, these are the gadgets you shouldn't bother buying.
Yeah.
Like the ones where you pass like kale through that hole so that it takes the stem off.
Right.
Or
the one that cuts your banana into pieces.
Oh, yeah, that one too. See, all those things. So talking about kitchen gadgets, because I have, and the problem I have is that I have parts of gadgets. Like I have a mandolin slicer, it seems. I think at one point I did, but I just have the handle that you just, pierce the vegetable with and then slide it down the mandolin.
But no mandolin.
They can't find the mandolin.
Okay.
So I should probably let go of the handle thing, right?
I would, yeah.
Yeah, I think I could let go of that. Although, do you have a mandolin slicer?
I do.
Have you seen that one where you can like push down on it and it chops things into like cubes and stuff?
The one where, well, there's the slap chop.
Yes, yeah, slap
chop.
And
then there's the other one that's like a rectangular thing,
right?
And you bring down like a door.
Are you curious about those?
I like the idea of it. But I can use a knife just fine.
Well, that's what I think. And then, and then I'm sitting there chopping onion after onion or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. That would be nice for that. And that's it.
Right. Well, and then there's that one that's a salad bowl that you like press down and you turn it turn it again in order to get it smaller slices.
Right.
That looks interesting.
I've seen that thing doesn't look like it's going to work.
That's what I thought too, but I'm very tempted. Now, Michael, you have a gadget that a listener bought upon your recommendation and conversation, your glowing remarks about what egg cooking device?
The Dash Rapid Egg Cooker. It is one of the greatest inventions known to man. I would love to get them to sponsor me. It has literally become a staple of my daily breakfast routine. So I enjoy it a lot.
So can you make like a hard boiled, soft boiled, all different kinds of egg and shell situations?
Hard boiled, soft boiled, poached eggs.
How about the molten egg that you always get like in ramen noodle soups?
Molten egg.
Yes. You don't talk about eggs?
It's just a soft-boiled egg.
Is it just soft-boiled?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you can make a soft-boiled egg.
You know what you should do? You should marinate eggs. I did that one time. That was very in like soy sauce and some other mixture.
I should.
That's very tasty with the soft-boiled eggs.
Anything egg-related, it's good protein. It's great for you. It makes you feel good. And then it fills you up really fast, and you can just go on with your day with just an egg in your stomach.
Do you eat eggs every day?
For about 3 weeks straight, I did, and I kind of am a little bit egged out.
I'd imagine. Oh, let me recommend this. When you make it like an egg salad, use some of your favorite pickles in that little egg salad.
Oh.
See what I'm saying? See where I'm going with that?
Man, game mayo, changer, little thyme, some,
and without, instead of using mayo, you could also use avocado, which is very healthy as well. I mean, mayonnaise has got egg. Because egg salad with mayonnaise cracks me up because it's just more egg.
I don't think I've ever had egg salad before.
What?
Yeah.
How are you making all these eggs and not making...
Right? I just make hard-boiled eggs. I'm a big fan of them.
Well, chop them up. Throw some onions, some celery, some mayonnaise.
That's a lot of work. That's why I love the Dash, because it's just simple, easy, straight to the point. The 847 number that texted in, you are a genius, and I'm a big fan of you.
There you go. By the way, one of our listeners from the 847 says they love their juice machine. Actually, they say, my juice machine rocks. So there you have it for that. But I do struggle with all the pulp, all the extra stuff. I've always thought there should be a good recipe for that.
I remember when the, you remember that guy, that older guy who do chin-ups and stuff, and he had that juicer that was on TV?
Jack, wasn't it?
Yeah, Jack LaLanne.
Yes.
He would always say in the infomercial, you can put them in muffins.
Ooh, that might be tasty.
Or in your favorite pasta sauce.
I don't know about that.
For fiber. And I was like, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to put that. I'm not putting my kale pulp in the... And then my muffins either. Although, who knows? It might work. Now, Michael, is the Dash the bulk of your gadget collection in your kitchen?
It's definitely one of the key points in my gadget collection, but
what else do you have?
What else do I have?
Like, do you have a corn cob stripper?
I have not made corn ever in my entire life.
They have these devices where you can like push it through and remove all the corn.
From the cob. I was just thinking about this the other day, Patty, that we live in the best time because everyone has gone through millions and millions of trials and errors, and now we have every device underneath the sun to make our lives so easy, which is great.
Well, there are some things that I don't think, like, as you can't get behind an electric whisk, can you? And like whisking seems
my wrist is perfectly fine to whisk.
Yes. I think that you're accurate on that. I mean, now that's the thing too. I have to buy a new whisk. Whisks are, you have to be particular about your whisks. I have one of those silicone ones and it doesn't work very well.
I only have a tiny one and I hate it. I got to buy myself a proper whisk.
Yeah, let's get you a proper whisk. That seems like a no-brainer.
I always have this list of things that I need to get. And when I go to Home Goods, I always forget. Mm-hmm. Like I need, because everything is always cheaper there.
I love Home Goods for their kitchen section.
I bought two big old rectangular pans, 13x9, for $7 each.
See, those are the fun buys. Mm-hmm. Although I have like in my oven, and I store all of my pans in the boiler, that drawer underneath the oven. And those things have been to hell and back. They are looking worse for the wear.
I love that spot. Yeah, there's nothing better than a good pan, to be honest. I've slowly recognized that. And I love the pans that have the little tops that you can, you know, and that has the little steam that goes up.
Lid?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what they're called. Lids. What a great invention, lids. You got to understand, I only got into cooking this past year. And finding the lid and getting a whole new collection of pots was better than Christmas. It was like three Christmases piled into one pot.
Well, we're very excited for you.
Well, thanks.
It's a wonderful adventure to start cooking.
It's pretty cool.
I've only started to get back into cooking. I was busy and my schedule was all over the place, but I've been trying to make home cooked meals for the boys. Mm-hmm. But one of the things, I think you're right, as one of the things about it is getting new gadgets makes it more fun.
Oh, for sure. Honestly, it makes your life a touch easier. I got the hand blender because I like to make creamy soups and I like to pureed soups. And rather than pouring it all into, one, the NutriBullet that's very tiny, so I have to do it in batches.
Batches, I hate that.
This thing, I just pop it into the pan and go to town.
Yeah.
Pureed soup.
Ta-da. that makes life happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's enjoyable. Here's some stupid gadgets. There's an Oreo dipper. It looks like a little hook so that you can dip it into your milk.
Oh, see, but what if you dip it for too long and then it breaks?
Yeah, then now you're left with soggy Oreo in your milk.
Mm-hmm.
You know what my dad used to love was orange juice and chocolate chip cookies.
Okay.
That is the strangest.
That's like what they give you at the blood bank.
Is it really?
Well, okay, because your blood sugar. They have you sit there with cookies and some juice.
Although he liked a lot of weird things. Like he loved liver and onions. He loved anchovies, although so do I. I love anchovies.
Yeah. I think the older generations love that kind of stuff. My parents love sardines and anchovies.
Oh, I like sardines.
Yeah, I'm not down.
It's a big smell. It's a big undertaking.
Real good for you, but...
I know. And you have to have someone in your life that loves you enough to be in the kitchen with you when you start cooking that.
No, yeah.
When I opened that can, Steve goes, hey, I'm going to put your hammock up for you. So if you want to go ahead and open that can of sardines out in the backyard, that'd be great.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yesterday I made a huge pot of beans. And I put about 10 cloves of garlic in that thing.
Ooh.
With two onions. And Steve came in. He goes, what is happening? Yeah, he said he found my cooking to be excessively aggressive in its...
With flavor?
Yes.
Is that what he's afraid of, the flavor?
It was very aggressive.
See, V loves onions. He'll eat them, like if anything needs raw onion or anything, he eats them up.
I'm the same way. Some caramelized onions. Oh, it makes me so thrilled. I've seen the little things that make you happy. Michael, we're going to expand you. We need to expand your gadget collection. So you got the Dash is all, really?
No, not the Dash. I also have the George Foreman grill.
Okay.
I have a quesadilla maker. That I use frequently.
How is the Foreman grill different than the quesadilla maker? Can you make the quesadillas on the Foreman grill?
Yeah, well, you can, but the beauty of the quesadilla maker, it cuts it into perfect triangles.
Oh, I see. So it's kind of like a waffle maker, but with quesadillas.
It's pretty much exactly the same thing, to be honest. And it has a little picture of a pepper on it that it's pretty cool.
Makes it festive?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think that I have a whole new collection of knives, too. I have like the knife, like brick, or whatever you
call
it.
The knife holder?
Knife holder, yeah, I suppose. And I think that's it. I would love to branch out, though. So I'm actually writing down all these ideas. The Oreo cookie
dipper?
Dipper, that's just going to lead me down a road where I don't want to go see the end of.
Would you buy a pair of chorks?
Chorks.
Only in the summer. Chorks are forks that have, they have fork on one end, chopsticks on the other end.
Oh.
So you can flip back and forth.
Chopsticks never were my game. They're just too hard. Every time I try and I try to look cool when I use them, but it always turns to hell.
We got
to
get you some little kid ones. With the little rubber band
on top.
You
can give me the adult ones. I'd be fine with
it. But this keeps it together so you don't, you know what the position is supposed to be. And I'm just waving my fingers at you. Like, this is like how you hold your chopsticks. I'm sorry about that.
I kind of do like,
Wait, you use both hands?
Yeah. Well, sometimes if the noodles are pretty,
get a fork. Just get it. Get a chork.
That's what I think.
No, get a chork. That way you can practice on the chopsticks. And then when all else fails, you've got your fork right there.
It reminds me of that scene in Kill Bill when she's trying to use the chopsticks and the master won't let her get through this class until she picks up like a single grain of rice with her chopsticks and that's all she can eat. That's the same kind of struggle I go through with those chopsticks.
There you go. All right. Well, we'll get you a set for your birthday so you can eat your pickles with your chorks.
Oh, I can't wait.
You pickle eater. More after this. That sounded weird. I apologize to everyone involved. You know what? That actually sets us up well for the next segment. More after this on 720 WGN. Thank you for hanging out with us. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. It's pretty late on the Patty V Show. And I want to tell you, Michael, did you see this text from Sandy Haney who says that you should try an invention by a Woodstock woman? It's the hard-boiled egg peeler that works great, and it's a wonder.
Oh, cool. That's where we went to high school.
Well, and I often have trouble. I struggle with peeling my eggs. I'm not going to lie to you.
Egg peeler.
An egg peeler. I don't know how that would work. I've tried I try all the different things, like running it underwater. Or I saw one where you put it like in a cup and with a little bit of water and you shake it back and forth and that loosens the shell. But I have not found anything that works every single time. So maybe I shall have to find this invention by someone from Woodstock.
For me, it helps to keep it underwater.
To keep it under,
peel it that way.
To keep it under running water or
under
like dunking?
Like a bowl of water and you peel it under the underwater.
All right.
And then really crush it.
Oh.
And this is for a hard-boiled egg.
Yeah, crush the shell into, so there's a lot of cracks.
Okay.
Because I feel like when the big cracks, it's more likely to grab onto some of the egg meat.
Okay.
See,
so
this is exactly why everyone should invest in the Dash egg cooker, because it always peels
just
perfectly.
Just slides right off?
Every single time. Yeah, you just do one crack and then cracks like almost into two shells. At least it has for me. I've had no trouble at all.
Okay.
And it's pretty cool.
I have trouble with eggshells. Like I was listening to you guys one night with Nick Diaz and he was talking about how you perfectly crack an egg. Mm-hmm. And it was something about between your two fingers and pulling away and push your thumb through. And I was like in my car, like trying to imagine.
Wait, like a raw egg?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to do it on a flat surface.
Mm-hmm. But not on the, and not on the edge of the pan?
No.
Yeah, that's what I do wrong.
Yeah, because you could get a shell into the egg.
But if you do it on a flat surface, aren't you then dripping some of the egg whites onto the flat surface?
Well, it shouldn't. You're not slamming it onto the flat.
So I'm just gently cracking it.
Yeah, you're cracking it enough so that you can get your hands, your fingers in there
into the crack
to pop it open. Yeah.
Okay. Then I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah, a little too hard.
I'm getting eggshell into my eggs, and then I have to use the eggshell to get the eggshells out.
Oh boy,
I know. From the 740, you need the hot dog maker that looks like a toaster, buns on each end, two hot dog holes in the middle. From Trucker Jamie.
Is that like the thing at 7-Eleven that you see? It constantly just winds the hot dog.
The rotisserie, the chicken rotisserie.
Just go to a 7-Eleven and buy it off of them.
You just go there. Hey, I would like not a hot dog, the machine. Give me it. I've had too many bad experiences with hot dogs at 7-Eleven anyway.
Yeah, it's been a while. And I'm always tempted too. I was in the 7-Eleven by Stage 773, and in their glossy, oily glory, I was like, I should get one of those. The idea is good.
Then you actually get it, and the reality is so much worse.
I used to work at a Radio Shack next to a 7-Eleven up in Jefferson Park, and the taquitos, like they would have rolling, it would be the hot dogs and I think they were called taquitos, right? Like, yeah. That was the staple of my diet in the summer of like 2006 or so. That's some Slurpees, got your taquitos. That was healthy. I'm fine. I'm sure that this heart's going to hold up no matter what my doctor says about my cholesterol.
It only made you stronger, I think.
Is that what it is? Mm-hmm. From the 630, I absolutely love my whisks, two sizes, both stainless steel. My second husband used to be a chef and introduced them to me. I still use my Osterizer. Whisk, I think, is what which I've had since my first wedding in 1965. My mom still has, like, she's like a Sunbeam blender from like the 60s. It has like that mustard yellow base.
Oh yeah,
with those big push buttons.
Yeah, my parents have so much stuff that I'm like, how has this not just disintegrated?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I actually think I should check out my mom. I think she has a big mixer, and I think it's a, I don't know if it's an Oster or a, it might be a Sunbeam too. I should see if that thing still works. I mean, those old appliances last forever. I'm going to try those out. From the 309, cook your hard-boiled eggs in the Instant Pot. Effortless peeling. It will change your life. Ez, have you tried?
Yeah.
That's what you do there,
yeah,
too?
I'll do like a week's. At a time.
So should I get rid of the, I know it's Shopping with Patty on her own show, getting advice from everybody else. I don't know if I should get rid of the crock pot. I'm curious about the Instant Pot.
Well, honestly, the Instant Pot is not the best for a slow cooker.
It's not.
No.
So you still need both.
So keep your slow cooker.
What you're saying is I need to knock out the wall in my son's bedroom in order to accommodate all the rest of the appliances, yes, I want to bring into the house.
I mean, Instant Pot is, I don't know. I enjoy it. It helps to do a lot of things that a slow cooker does in half the time. So I guess if you're a big slow cooker, mm-hmm, cooker, and you like it because the time thing, it's much shorter. So if you're planning like, oh no, I'll leave the house and then come back, you can't do that with an Instant Pot.
Ah, I see. So it's a little more hands-on.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I make this pork shoulder that takes 14 hours in the slow cooker. And in the Instant Pot, it's like maybe hour and a half.
Does it taste
2 hours? Yeah.
All right.
It's just a pressure cooker. That's all it is.
Right.
It's just a safer pressure cooker. Because back in the day, they were a little scary.
Yeah. It sounds like it. Well, then there was one. There wasn't a crock pot that blew up somebody on This Is Us?
Oh, yeah. That was a faulty,
yes,
crock pot,
and an
though.
Older one. From the 630, my Sunbeam mixer is also since 1965 and still works great. Let's take a break here. After the news, I'm trying to decide. I'm curious about this story, and my biggest question is, how do you find something out like this? There's been a study done, an expert reveal the one bizarre thing women can do before intercourse to make it easier to arrive at their destination of pleasure. That's the best way I can put that. More after this on 720. WGN. Michael's like, did you mean orgasm? Yeah, I do. Before I tell you about a strange study that caught my attention, I want to draw everyone's attention to a side conversation that's going on our tech screen between the 630 and Michael over the Dash egg cooker. There is a double-decker a Dash cooker. I'm just curious about this situation. I guess in case you have the need for 12 eggs, the whole dozen, you want to cook the whole dozen.
That's like Gaston from Beauty and the Beast level. Like, that's way too many eggs.
As they're sharing pictures on text screen.
Wow.
I like this. I did not know it, but now I get to see the different brands, the different styles, the different colors that are available. Mm-hmm. So I'm enjoying it. I can't buy the Dash. I can't buy another gadget that isn't one that isn't the Instapot. I have to get rid of something, and I'm not ready. Mm. I'm not ready to give up my waffle yet.
Okay. What about that 1965 blender you have sitting?
My mom's. It's my mom's. Oh, okay. It's downstairs. That's her pantry, not my pantry. By the way, I love my husband. He does all of the grocery shopping, which is part of the reason why I think I'm putting on weight. My entire pantry looks like the snack aisle at Mariano's.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, you've picked everything. This is a whole lot of, I mean, God bless him, it's snacks for the boys, but I'm like, oh, these pretzels are good with this, with Merck's cheese. Pretzels, man. With some Merck's cheddar cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me so happy.
What kind of Mercs do you like?
I like the wine one with the blend.
Oh, that one's so good.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I also like Pringles with a little bit of sour cream.
Oh, now we're talking.
I've been eating badly at night, Michael. And I'm putting on the weight. My doctor says my cholesterol's up. I have to go. That's why I was making beans and garlic. Like, beans and garlic are supposed to help you lower your cholesterol. So I'm a little bit of trouble. Maybe I should find another way to get into shape. Okay, so this is, hold on, let me do this. Let me make sure I have this. I want to give everyone a fair warning, so I'll do this.
Warning! We are entering adult topics here. You have been warned. But we will keep it classy.
I find these studies, whenever they say a study shows, I'm like, okay, I need people to show their work, because how do you even discover something like this? Expert reveal the one bizarre thing women can do before sex to make it easier for them to arrive at pleasure. I don't know why I'm so afraid to say the word orgasm. To have an orgasm. There you go. I said it twice now. I think I might have said it three times. I'm not sure. Do you have any ideas, what do you think a study would show that we need to do before intercourse that would make us happier or make us arrive? I can't think. I mean, right? Yeah. I mean, I would think, like, shower, like, take care of myself a little bit beforehand. Like,
yes.
That might be. Right? And then I also feel presentable. I'm not feeling self-conscious.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I would think.
A cake?
A cake?
I don't know.
I could see that. But I would be full. I'd be like,
that is true. You could have a small piece.
I'd be like, can we take a break?
There's cake later.
as a lure, as sort of
a
reward.
Cake later. Like, oh, all right.
If you get to your destination, there'll be cake later. I'm not going to ask Michael. Michael's already blushing, trying not to make eye contact with me. Would it be?
I'm on board with cake.
Cake?
That sounds fine.
Everyone wants cake at the finish line.
It depends on the cake, I suppose.
Oh, I would go with I like a Black Forest cake. What's your cake, Michael?
Angel food cake.
Oh, see?
And the honestly,
because it's the lightest cake you can get.
And you know what? You can have it in between.
You can stop, take a break.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
No, you don't even have to take a break. Throw it in there.
So, you know what? I wonder if I should just make this a guess. No, I don't think we want to know what people would guess what women should do before they have sex in order to arrive at their destination of pleasure.
Ooh, that'd be a fun contest.
Yeah, but I don't know if we can take those. I don't know if the FCC would come down on us for that. I don't know what that's going to sound like. Okay, so I'll just go ahead and tell you. So there's a study that's been done, and there's a psychotherapist that backs this up in his own studies, that women are hold on a second. Let me see if I have this number right, because this seems crazy, that women are 400% more likely to orgasm if they blow their nose before they have sex. Is that hot? Is that hot?
Is that noise what the sound when you blow your nose?
Exactly. Yes, you need to clear your nostrils, because a big part of sexual arousal for a woman is smell. Exactly. I don't, I mean, I guess the pheromones, but I just, I don't need to be.
So what if I do a full sinus rinse?
Right? Is that hot? Is that sexy for neti potting?
Like
before?
I got a neti pot before. Hold on a minute.
Hold on a second. I just got to take care of some of this.
And then I'm usually like back in there.
Right?
It's trying to get everything out.
It's like dripping down the back of your throat. Hey, baby. hold on a second. I think Paul's calling about a different conversation. Now, Paul, we were talking about how to, a technique for women to perhaps have an orgasm. You're calling about cake, aren't you?
You guys were talking about cake before and then how to make orgasm more complete. I don't know what works for you guys, but I just had carrot cake and I feel great.
Do you? All right.
I don't know if
I love that
works
you're,
for women.
Yeah, I love that you're like, I got to get on this cake conversation. I don't care if they're going to talk about orgasms. I've got to talk about cake. You're in Reno?
No, we can talk about it.
No, it's all right. You're in Reno eating carrot cake?
I just finished carrot cake, and I had a little chocolate cake, too, and pancakes, but whatever.
Wow. You are carving up at, 140? Is it 145 there as well?
No, it's 11. It's 11:30 here. 11:43. And I do have new zippers for you guys.
A chainsaw. My husband was listening to that show the other night. For those who were not listening to the show on Monday night, Paul was en route to another destination in Nevada. Is that your zipper? And he was packing for the airport. And while he was talking to us, sharing his legal expertise, he was zipping up a bag. And it just sounded like he was very excited to talk about the Constitution. And my husband. Yeah, my husband was like, nice job being a 12-year-old boy on the air. Good job, Patty.
This is the appropriate time to talk with the packing zipper sounds, but I guess I didn't time it well. Adult topics.
You have been warned.
Just saying. Just want to help you out. Oh, no, I was wrong, by the way. If a woman blows her nose before having sex, she is 600% more likely to climax.
Wow.
So when did you say?
I said 400%.
Oh.
Or 400 times. I think I said 400 times. I knew there was a number.
Blow your nose?
Blowing your nose, because it clears your nasal passages and opens you up to the smells of the other person.
Huh.
I do like that the 574 said I would have guessed a proper mindset. See, I think that's why I was thinking shower. I think that sort of, it soothes me. I feel presentable. This is very strange. I can't believe I'm talking on the air about this, but there it is.
Yes. So under this theory, then, would it make more sense to just have sex in really cold weather and then, like, run inside?
No, because your nose would be runny. Well, you have to blow your nose. But yes, and I would, yeah, so that is the study that they're saying. And there's a psychotherapist who says that he makes his people who are struggling with their sex lives, he makes them smell each other, especially the woman smelling up on the man. And the findings suggest having a head cold and or blocked nose may make arousal more difficult. Mm-hmm. I know from my own therapy practice that you can improve sexual response among healthy women and men by getting them to consciously smell your partner. So, Paul, Paul is a single guy. Do you see yourself just like, in the middle of a date? Like, let's say you meet up with a Tinder girl. You're like, I hate to do this, but I've got to smell you. I got to smell you.
I actually have very sensitive smell. So, like, if a girl has a perfume that reminds me of someone that, like, I had a bad experience with, it's like a deal breaker. So,
wait, the perfume of a previous relationship will be a. I can see that.
Yeah, there's there's one perfume that reminds me of this bad experience I had in college, and like I'll smell it while I'm just walking down the street. I'm like, oh God, there's Lori. And it just reminds me of this one person, it's just a horrible situation.
Do you know what the perfume is?
If I hear the name, I remember. It's something that's not as common as it was in the 90s, but in the 90s it was really popular.
Poison?
No.
That was some strong stuff.
It's got a red top. I know that. It's like an obsession of some sort.
Oh, that's too funny.
It's really strong.
How is how's Nevada? Day, what, 10? What do you want?
Oh, gosh, I've lost track. It's
second week, and I'm in Reno now, so it's different than Las Vegas. It's different crowds, pretty fun shows, and there's only one show a night, so there's a lot of downtime. I'm going to try to go hiking tomorrow.
Oh, that's great. Now, do you know the nickname of Reno, Nevada?
Does it have anything to do with chocolate cake?
No, it does not. It is dubbed the biggest little city in the world.
Oh.
You're not going to go to the National Automobile Museum with more than 200 vintage cars?
Oh, no. I didn't even know that's there.
Why am I taking care of your travel arrangements and your sightseeing?
I've just been so busy. I've been doing a lot of prep work for some comedy stuff coming up. But, I definitely have downtime tomorrow. The weather wasn't that nice either here. It's been, like, raining a lot, too. So,
what was our weather like tonight, today, Michael? How would you describe today's weather in Chicago?
Can I use the word perfect?
Yes.
Okay, it was perfect. Perfect. That's
glorious.
80 degrees.
As would you say it was a glorious day of sunny Chicago-ness?
Yes. Yeah. It's wonderful.
It was last week in Las Vegas, every day was like 75 to 80, and the nights were like so like cool. It was the best weather possible. You guys were having not so good weather. So I'm looking forward to next week, though.
All right.
That's Chicago.
Fine. Hey, you know, by the way,
go to this auto.
By the way, if you go to, there's also the Reno Street Food Food Truck Friday tomorrow you could enjoy.
I have vouchers at some of the finest restaurants here in Reno
okay.
every day, and that's why, and I'm not going to become close, I'm not even coming close to using them all, so when it's late at night, I'm like, I think I did well today. I deserve a carrot cake and pancake.
I can't believe you didn't call us with What's Paul Eating on the Phone. We could have all guessed carrot cake.
Maybe tomorrow we'll be so lucky. You can't do What's Paul Eating with carrot cake. That's
too mushy. That's a little bit. Yeah, it's a little too slobbery.
Especially for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I'm looking at this Reno guide, and there's nothing about this automotive thing that you speak of.
I don't know.
So this must be an outdated guide here.
Or maybe they're not as proud of it as their. Let's see what page this is. I don't know. It comes up on the Google search. Mm-hmm. Just saying, Downtown's National Automobile Museum.
Reno Downtown Auto.
Okay.
I am
grateful for that. Is there anything? We don't have any updates on our Deadpool. We haven't had any. Have there been anybody that's dropped? No.
No.
Deadpool.
But
hold on, let me see if I have the paper.
What about? We should probably do something with the Nobel Peace Prize now that it's an open game. Who's going to win it?
Well, and there's that's true. Who's who do you think is going to take over in the first spot for the in the running for the Nobel Peace Prize? Although I heard North Korea says that, hey, no, we totally want to meet with you. Look, we're
maybe it'll just be North Korea.
just meeting with themselves.
It's anything's possible. This world that we live in.
All right, hold on. So I don't think there hasn't been nobody's left the administration or the cabinet, right? Everybody that we
no.
Deadpool was a while ago. Carson is still there. Pruitt's still there.
Yeah.
People were betting on Carson a few weeks ago, but no, he's still there.
Yeah.
Sessions is still there.
Bigger fish.
Yeah.
Bigger fish to fry. People have forgotten about Deadpool.
Yeah, I know. Nobody.
Everything's stabilized.
Let's say that. Let's say it's all stabilized.
Everything's under control. It's all going to be great.
Completely under control. Well, Paul, are you hanging out to tell us something good or do you need to run?
I can say something good, I guess. Sure,
all right, hang out and say something good before we go. And I've got to turn it over to Nick D in just a few moments. Tell me something good. What are you happy about? Paul's yawning on his phone. I'm going to turn off his microphone. There's the zipper. Tell me something good. What are you happy about? What made you smile today? Is there something great coming up over the weekend? It doesn't have to be anything big, but just something that makes you happy. More after this on 720 WGN 312-981-7200. We're winding down and ready to turn the keys over to Nick D. Tell me something good. What's making you happy tonight? We have Trucker Jamie on the line first. Hey, Trucker Jamie, tell me something good.
Hey, I got a couple of good things. Friday night, my goddaughter graduates from high school.
Hey.
So I get to come off the road for that. And then the long-awaited event that I told you about quite a while ago, I've got the show with Steve Martin Martin Short and the Steep Canyon Rangers.
That's awesome. Oh, that is a lot of good news. Congratulations, Papa.
Do I need to tell Martin Short that you said hi?
Yeah, I don't know if he'll remember me from the Laugh Fest in Grand Rapids. But we sat around drinking lemon drop martinis for about 4 or 5 hours. But I don't know.
All right.
I don't know if he'll remember me. It was a while ago. He was such he's so kind.
I'm sure you made such an impression that, he stayed with him for all these years.
Oh, sure. Have a great time. Thank you, Trucker Jamie. Thank you. All right.
I will. Have a great weekend. I'll be busy tomorrow night.
Oh, okay. Me too. Be well. Hey, Sue, tell me something good.
Hi, Sue. I'm Sue.
Yes.
Hi. My husband has MS. We live in a tri-level. We finally found our dream ranch home.
Oh, I'm so glad. Congratulations, Sue. That's got to be such
a
relief.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It is such a relief.
Oh, I love that. That's a great something good. I'm almost afraid to ask Paul something good because I don't think it's going to top Sue's. Paul, can you top her something good?
Well, in addition to now, I've got plans to see the National Auto Museum tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Thanks to you, Patty. I'm looking at the sites now. I'm looking forward to being back in Chicago next Monday.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And you can hear Paul and his latest podcast on Singles Only on iTunes. Got to take a quick break here. More after this on 720 WGN.